Good afternoon, everyone, and good morning to those this morning and good evening. So we've got a short agenda in terms of number of topics, but it's quite active. Initially, we've got an update from Anne regarding the November face-to-face. So I wanted to start with that update and then go into the first agenda topic, which is the implementation notes from LEDIC. So Anne, can you give us the update on the November face-to-face, please?
Yes, thank you, John, and hello to everybody. We wanted to advise that we won't have a November face-to-face meeting, and we'd like to give you our reasons for that. So we're just confirming that there will be no face-to-face meeting in London in November. And our reasons for that are that there is a series of documents that we require and would very much appreciate your input on, and they'll be coming over the next few weeks. We need to give them to you in a staggered fashion in order to meet our deadlines for the taxonomy update. So we have the call today, we have another call in October, and there'll be other materials coming to you for comment over the next 3 months. And we're doing it this way because there is a lot of work to get through, but it's more appropriate that we get through it in a way where we're releasing material to you and collecting your feedback remotely, rather than we're not in a position to hold those materials and do it all together in November. So that's our position on that, John. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Anne. I think that's in keeping with some of the previous updates to the ICG as well, that from time to time you may shift the format to align better with the workflow of the staff there. I think this is one of those times where it's probably better to skip the face-to-face and get more work accomplished in the short term. With that, I'll see if there's any questions or thoughts from my ICG before moving on to the next topic. Any questions or thoughts before we move on? Okay, no. So, Vladek, can I hand it over to you to go through the implementation notes, please?
Thank you, John. So today's meeting will start with quite technical topic about implementation of what solution to use, technical solution to use. And as you remember, back in June 2017 and April 2018, we discussed already about technicality of implementation notes, and before we proceed with our proposals, we are still seeking further views from you on the following. So what is the best technical syntax to use for implementation notes, and the implementation content will be discussed at the October call. Option one, so that's what we agreed back in June 2017, that we are going to use implementation notes based on reference link base. And we haven't considered translations at the time. And on the slide, you can see on the slide four, you can see an example we gave before, and we here we identify certain parts of the reference link base we could use for purpose of implementation notes. So let's say you have note, which is more about explaining what. Explanation how to implement certain disclosure. So in this regard, it's like you must apply a positive XBO value for this disclosure. And there is another one which is positive value, and this is Boolean item. It can be true or false. So at this stage, computer can read this as a true, which means you have to include, you have to input a positive value. And on the far right, you can see that we added into the taxonomy this implementation node that is very custom, and we need to define this in the IFRS taxonomy if we proceed with this solution. So there are multiple advantages of this option that we discussed already in previous meetings. That one of the options is it's computer readable, it supports ease of use within tagging tools. So, for example, you can search information or filter by implementation node type. And it permits the structuring of implementation nodes into different types by specifying those types within the reference link base. And since reference link base is already available on the market, we do not expect much of a difference in terms of tools, changes of tools. The disadvantages that we found out are some of the jurisdiction might not be able to or partially able to leverage the benefits of implementation nodes due to lack of translations. The second disadvantage is use of custom reference roles. There might be some changes required to reflect those changes in their graphical user interfaces. So what is the issue here? So this option one, that's the base what we wanted to go ahead before. So translations are quite important for the IFRS taxonomy, especially for the content and with including human readable implementation nodes. And translations of those content, so the taxonomy, supports consistent adoption and application of the taxonomy. And we understand that there is no guidance or best practice for translation of element references. We know that there is best practice to use textual information as element labels. So if you apply XML lang attributes, that's when you can specify what language the label is in. And we know that XBRL software might not handle similar attributes for element references that we propose to go for. So we identify two additional options that we would like to propose to you. The first option is to use of element label instead of reference link base. And the second one is adding this XML lang attributes within reference link base. So those options are on slides 7 to 8, and the third option is on slide 9 to 10. Here on slide 8, you can see option 2, use of element label for implementation node. So in that case, we would reuse already available commentary guidance label role, which is available through XBRL International. And you can see an example of use of this commentary guidance role for positive XBRL value. So here we just highlighted the specific language that we are using and the role that this label comes from. So the type is straight from XBRL International repository. Advantages of this option is, as I said, it's defined already by Experian International. Supports translations in the same way as standard labels supports translation. And there is no changes to existing Xvir software, or no changes for the structure within the IFRS taxonomy. There is a minor change that we have to put the labels in a separate label link-based file, but it's a minor change. The disadvantages of this option are it does not permit structuring of the implementation nodes into different types within the reference link base. So if you would like for a computer to understand positive, negative values as a Boolean item, this information wouldn't be easily accessible, because we will have to add this additional information within the text of the label itself. So because of that, searches and filtering information might not be available for tools. Obviously, there will be always a possibility to text search of information if we apply, for example, positive, the type needs to be positive. We can still do consistent way in order to enable those searches on those implementation nodes. So coming to option three, another option, potential option, is to add attribute, this Xbrn lang attributes within the reference. Here on slide 10, you have an example how it could be done technically. So you have this reference with a part called node, and this is human readable text information, and we just add this XML lang with the value of ENGB, which means that we are using English-British translation for this text. And here also I highlighted that there is a custom reference role that needs to be defined within the IFRS taxonomy before enabling this implementation nodes. So advantage of this is this attribute XML lang is supported by XML 1.0 standard. It's not by Xvir in international, but World Wide Web Consortium. It still permits structuring of the implementation nodes into different types. That's what actually the option one still has the same advantage. It's still readable for a computer, so we can still use some custom types within these references. And it supports translation of implementation nodes in other languages. The disadvantages on this option is potential impacts on software tools due to current lack of language support for element references. So we might see that software reads these references but do not display this translated information, or it doesn't display this attribute, or has warning or errors because of that. And again, second disadvantage of that reference is we are still using custom reference role that we need to, every taxonomy we release, we need to add custom reference roles within our taxonomy structure. So that's one of the disadvantages of this option. However, prior to this meeting, we received some comments from ITCG members regarding this subject. And it was highlighted to us that the option one and three are invalid for the time being regarding the guidance from Xbrn International Specification 2.1, because the reference link base can be used only to point to some information. It cannot describe information as such within the reference.
It shouldn't be used for that.
If we want to explain certain things for disclosures, or in that particular case for elements, for positive values, we have to use label, XBRL labels. So at this point of time, the options 1 and 3 are invalid, XBRL specific, 2.1 specification invalid, or not aligned to it. So this, please disregard this slide. So our proposal at this point of time is option 2. So go ahead, we would like to go ahead with option 2 because it's still aligned to the specification. We can still reuse label type, which is commentary guidance rule that is available, freely available, and it's out there already. There is no customization needed. And unfortunately, we can't specify this, you know, additional types of information, but this can be done by adding this as a textual information within the label. It enables us also to provide translations if we would like to translate implementation notes in the future. So, coming to questions, we skip the first question and we'll go to the third one. Do you agree with the staff proposal, option 2? If no, what option do you prefer? And additionally, are there any alternative options you think we should consider?
I think, in fact, based on what XBRL International and these ICCG members have told us, if we go with option 1 and 3, we are not aligned anymore with the XBRL technical specifications or with the best practice guidance. But as far as us concerned, these options are out, really. It's really more a question from, besides what we discussed for customer documentation label, is there anything else you think we should consider?
Can I ask a question?
So, Rita, this is Lewis. I'd like to challenge the idea that options 1 and 3 are not valid. As you know, that is the way we have implemented it in the U.S. GAAP taxonomy. And we worked with XBRL International when we did that. So it's hard for me to understand that that is an invalid option.
The issue is the languages, Lewis. There's no languages used in that fashion in the U.S. GAAP taxonomy.
But in option 1, it's not a language issue.
Well, you still need to be able to put in different languages with an XML lang element.
But that's option 3, right?
Yes, but option 1, we disregard this because it's very important for us to translate those implementation notes.
But I mean, you could spend lots of time debating this. To be honest, this is clearly something that wasn't considered fully in the specs when these parts of the specs were developed, which is a very long time ago now. You haven't raised the other issue with translations here in terms of references, which is just that to the extent that the I4S taxonomy is being referenced, to the extent that the taxonomy is referencing the authoritative literature in different languages, you want to make sure that people can automatically get to the right place in that context as well. That's also not properly supported in the specs today.
Yes.
So if you write us a letter, we will put this in front of the spec group and we'll come up with some proposals about what the best way to do this is, which will ensure that software supports it. The problem today is that some software will support option 3 because it will know about XML lang, but that's outside of all conformance suite tests.
Mm-hmm.
So we could guarantee that lots of software will blow up at it. They just won't cope. And because the IFRS taxonomy of all the taxonomies in the world probably hits the most software, we can guarantee that there will be dozens, if not hundreds, of software packages that fail. So this is something that we could easily resolve in a normative fashion. And in this context, I think the best thing would just be to drop us a line. This has come up informally just in the last few weeks in spec, but I think it would be good for us to formally have it formally raised and resolve it.
Yeah, we saw two issues. First of all, John, we really want, because implementation notes is for a long time something that we have wanted to do, so we really want to implement it. It's really an ideal to have a proposal out by the end of November, and a proposal that we know for sure is going to work for all potential users. So that's where we're going to go to. We said, look, we'll go to this documentation because this is the only option we can go with
that,
now.
That's a short-term fix.
That we have to do it. Then the second thing, and I don't know if this if this member is already on the call, and if possible, then you will understand what I say, and then please make yourself explain it better than I could do. But also, this member said as well that a lot of our implementation notes may be also like quite a lot of explanations that we say, look, okay, use the label to understand what item you need to be at. So there's quite a lot of text. It's not. It's less reference. It's less like parts, let's say. Like,
yeah.
And we were planning to use something, this reference notes for that.
Mm-hmm.
And our understanding as well that, in fact, that particular attribute of the XBRL specification was not intended. It was intended more to point to something rather than to give lots of lots of explanations.
That was the original goal. It's going to be the first time that syntax is being overloaded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's why we prefer to say, look, if we think translations for us is most important, because implementation support is really there to help prepare us implement the taxonomy in the accurate fashion. So we can't really rely on the fact that everyone speaks English as their first language, and therefore we have to consider translations. Based off that, we already have to go to option two, because option three is too risky with introducing this new. And secondly, you said, look, if it's really the case that technical specification is not intended to use that particular attribute for lots of language text, then again, that points us to the documentation labels. And this is the feedback we got this morning from the ITCG. So I really would like to thank you very much for the feedback, because we had like some panic discussions this morning to say what we need to do. And I think based on that, and based on the fact that we want to get this out, we see more other option now to proceed with option two, because this is the option that we know can be done, exists, support translations. It's not does not upset the market, because in principle they should be able to handle with it. And we may lose some structure, madam, if later on there is a much better solution than we can see if we shift at that moment in time.
So do you agree?
Yes.
Hi, Anna Schultino from ESMA speaking. Just a quick question. First, thanks a lot for focusing so much on translations. You can imagine that for our jurisdiction, this is very important, fundamental, let's say. Could you better explain what are the drawbacks of option two, which I understand is going to be retained at least in the short term, whilst something more structured is going to be developed?
Okay, so, and Vladek, please correct me. So then the question for option two, Vincent, in both option one, two, and three, humans can read what is there. Yeah. In option two, what you lose is some kind of structure. Like if you were to use the reference link basis, then you could have like additional attributes, I call it, properties that you say, okay, this thing is the positive property. Positive property, you put in a something to say true. So computer now will know, okay, if I have this element with a positive attribute of true, that means I need to expect a positive element. If it is not there, I can throw it out as an error or something like that. If you put that kind of this same what I've described to you now in text, which would be the use of the documentation label, then a computer can do still some text searching and mining to read this, but it will not be so easy. So in the end, what we have said, really, translation and human readable is weighing up against this additional structure we may have. Also, when we looked at the implementation notes we are planning to implement for next year, the structure would be there only really for dispositives, where we hadn't discovered any additional structure, but we still like the idea of structure because that really handles, settles better up for the future. But that is, does that explain it, Anna? If not, I can explain more in detail at our call.
Yeah, no, it's clear. It's clearer now. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay.
I mean, I think as a short-term solution, definitely we should retain, we definitely should retain some kind of priority for translation, even if it's just a label, that would definitely be helpful for implementation. And then if we can move on to a more target solution later on, that would be also very appreciated. Thank you.
Any other comments or thoughts around the three options, or actually around option two, which is the staff's direction with this? Fladek, you also had a question around additional options. So I'll throw that out to see if anyone has any thoughts around additional options.
Hi, this is Lewis again. I'm curious how this works up against what you do with your formula link base, which is a more machine-readable version of the same thing, I believe. Don't you include some of this, if not all of this, in the formula link base as well?
We do some of it, but we are planning additional implementation notes, like is it as an implementation note, I think we have proposing for IFRS 13 as
yes.
well.
Yes, so there was, in IFRS 10, you might recall, there was quite a big discussion over, I think, at least two meetings about quantification of the change in observable inputs, and then there was this distinction between the percentage and percentage points. And this is something that we've decided to put in the implementation note. And as you probably have seen in the PTU that you have been reviewing, there is actually quite a big chunk of the text where we're trying to explain the distinction with the examples and so on, so people understand what we mean. And this is actually quite a big textual description that we're planning to do.
Okay, I think that gives you your answer, Vladek. Generally, everyone's in agreement with the approach of the staff as a short-term option with a view to get more structure in the future.
But if we could have a letter about that. That was short. That was the game going on.
Is an email okay? You okay? We will put it to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If we could move on, just looking at the time, if we can move on to this agenda topic two, which I believe is the common practice by IFRS 13, and Isabella, you're going to walk us through that, correct?
Yes. So we wanted to quickly update you on where we are in the process and how we're progressing the comments that you've received. There is a slide 16 that is kind of highlighting the recent changes. So you might recall we had the last call in July about on this topic. After that call, we progressed with the drafting of the materials that we then sent to our IFRS taxonomy review panel, but also to ITCG at the same time. We have sent you all the documents and also explaining the recent developments that we've done. So again, coming back to the same topic, so related to approach to the quantification of the change in observable input, we had quite a lot of discussion about it in July and in June, I recall. In the end, we have decided to put some of the options into the proposed taxonomy update, but as a result of the comments that we have received, particularly from our review panel, we actually took away one of the options that was relying heavily on the XBRL follow-up work, and we've decided since it's not available right now, we are not sure what's going to happen with that. We are going to have the discussions on it. We took it out from the proposed taxonomy update, and now we have only two options that are possible to be implemented after the proposed taxonomy update will be finalized, hopefully next year. There was also one additional change, or more maybe clarification. There was a change in fair value due to many unobservable inputs. We proposed quite a few of new line items, and at that point, I think we referred to change. When we started drafting the documents, we realized that we should probably be more precise, and we proposed to actually deprecate the existing elements and then change them to the proposed elements, and we clarified that in the PTU, and we will retain that in the final document as well. I would like to also say that we thank you for the comments that we have received. All of the comments that we received from the IDCG were saying that they agree with the proposals. And what we are planning to do now is finalize the document and publish that in September together with the files and all the supporting documentation, which is the ITI, our versioning information, so it is comparison between the IFRS taxonomies. I believe for the first time, what we're also planning to do is publish the webinar that is highlighting the changes. In essence, it will be based on the slides that we've been presenting to the ITCG with all the clarifications that we've done in the meantime. We are hoping that this document or this webinar will attract maybe a little bit more attention of people that maybe are not so keen on reading our taxonomy documents or our Word document, because it will be slides with us talking through the changes and on the questions that we are going to have in the proposed taxonomy update. So as we discussed before, we are planning to publish that for 60 days, and then we will expect comments back in the middle of November. Then we will start analyzing the comments. If there will be any comments that require any further discussion, we are planning to bring it back to the IFRS Taxonomy Review Panel and ITCG. Regardless of that, we will summarize what we have received anyway. And then next year, we are going to finalize the documents and the changes in the IFRS Taxonomy. Now, what I would be interested to hear from you is, if you have any ideas for the action that we can do to make sure that we have sufficient feedback from the stakeholders. As you know, in the past, we normally do not receive a lot of comment letters. If you have any ideas of, apart from this webinar that we're planning to do and posting that on the website, on our social media, what we can do to promote the fact that this is going to be published and to get the feedback on those changes, that would be really helpful.
So, Isabel, are you looking for those ideas now or submitted at a later point?
I think if you can provide us any feedback right now, that would be really helpful. We are planning to publish that mid-September or the second half of September. So if you have any ideas in after the meeting today, I would be also interested as well.
Okay. There was someone going to speak.
This is Willis. A couple of ideas quickly, and I can send more. But, of course, the CSA Institute would be a good point of outreach as broad consumers of Financial Executives International. From a producer perspective, and I'm guessing that John Turner sitting there probably has some other ideas in terms of contacts in the market. I can send you contacts, and I will send you contacts to both those organizations, which would be two that would just come off the top of my head.
Okay.
And I think
okay, thanks, Mike.
Mm-hmm. We plan to do something with XBRL UIs as well.
We are going to reach out to, because I think there was some idea in the past that maybe we should do some webinar or some discussion with the XBRL US, so we are planning to reach out and see if they are still interested.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if there's anything else that comes up in terms of outreach, I guess the group would submit it directly to you, and I'm sure John sitting there may have something to submit those to you as well.
That's
so for now, do you have? Sorry.
That would be very helpful. Thank you.
Okay. So anything else from you?
I'll play a little bit. Yeah, for those organizations or people who are not involved in tagging, one idea to try to do is instead of reading the document, why don't you test tag some of your filings and see why the proposals really has reduced the number of extensions you need to create, or really makes it easier, or whatever you can do based on test tagging some of annual reports, what your view is on these proposals. That would be of most interest to us, really.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I see you still speaking, but can't hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me now, John?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Could you hear me what I said before?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so I will repeat. So I was thinking one idea, and it just came to my mind, and I don't know how practical it is, but one idea could be for organizations or of members who are involved a lot in tagging of financial statements is maybe to use a few financial statements and test tag our proposals and see what the result is of that. Did it result in less extensions? Was it a better data model? What was your views based on test tagging of some of these of some of the financial statements? That would be of most interest to us, really.
Yeah. So maybe that's something that Ashok could speak to. I know he does quite a bit of tag. I'm not certain who else is on the call that does, but maybe something that you might want to take on, Ashok.
Have we lost him?
You go in and out on my side.
Ashok, could you just confirm,
still,
or Lou, can you
hear?
Okay.
I'm still listening. I'm actually analyzing all those, you know, the so-called extended custom tag, and come up with some sort of, you know, the list where we have like a common accounting concept, extended, but can be, you know, the use to, you know, the make new, you know, the tag.
Yeah.
So it's a work in progress.
And especially applied for IFRS 13, that would be very useful. And I think there are other organizations who are involved in tagging as well, so I don't want to point out just Ashok here. I think there are other organizations who can provide useful input and are involved in tagging.
Yeah.
Okay.
You would have list, as soon as I complete, you would have a whole comprehensive list from me. So, and then we will take it from there once you review and see what else can we do on that one.
Okay.
So it's work in progress, hopefully. Finish probably in probably next couple of 2 to 3 weeks' time, and hopefully give you the whole thing in order to you to consider.
Okay, great.
Okay, great. Thanks, Ashok.
Thank you, John.
Anything else? I think that should cover most of what you had, Isabella, and you'll probably get some feedback, additional feedback in the coming weeks. If you're happy with that, can we move on to the next topic? I guess just the sort of general update on the 2018 taxonomy?
Yeah.
I'll pass it to you, Rita.
Okay, thank you, John. The staff at the moment is considering a range of changes which would they want to include in a new proposed taxonomy update which really capture, besides implementation notes, also a range of general improvements. Now, on this slide, we give you a list of the general improvements we are currently considering. And today, I really want to discuss the use of the duration item type. We already discussed in April simplification of entry point and new presentation group, so that will be a quick reminder today. And then in the October call, we want to discuss another group of improvements. So what is the issue with the duration item type? So at the moment, within the IFRS taxonomy, there are a list of elements that really represent a period of time, like for instance, remaining amortization period. But we have modeled that in the taxonomy currently using the decimal item type. Now, we have received feedback from many directions to say to question why don't we use the duration item type within the IFRS taxonomy for these elements. And even some people are saying, do we need to create extensions to be able to use the duration item type? So that is the issue we are trying to address. Slide 24 just gives a list of elements. I'm not going to talk to each of them. So when do we discuss it? So well, what we did to address this, we have now real-life XBRL filings available. So we looked at a few real-life XBRL filings and see, is there really an issue with the current data model we use? Because whenever you change a data model, that means also deprecating your elements and creating new elements. So we had to be sure, look, there is an issue that we really need to address. So what we found out is that many companies present their periods in a decimal format. So typically you would say like 3.7 years. However, what we noticed as well is that in fact many companies, to identify what units they use different units. So companies may have set years, Y, M, there was lots of variety. And also we noticed that some companies created extensions just to be able to use the duration item type. So this, that we really felt, look, there is a reduced ease in use of using the fact data. So, and I just want to illustrate that on this slide. So what we find is, okay, in some cases, a company may have used Y, other companies use years, a company used age, we saw. So there were different kind of units. And again, computers, you could say, based can handle with the diversity in names, but again, it would require extra processing, extra intelligence. But what was worse, that in some cases, it was really not clear what units was this the value being provided. So you may have said, okay, this is 10, but this could be 10 years, or this could be 10 months. And it really, it required manual intervention, manual review, before you really could understand what unit was used. Now, the problem that this variety in units is really caused by the fact if we give that a decimal item type, a decimal item type provides flexibility to preparers as to what units to specify in their filings. At least there is John, you are...
You mean some of them say 3.4 months and some of them say 3.4 years?
They don't even... some of them may say 3.4 and they may say pure. Like you done the unit pure. Is that now 3 points?
Yeah.
Months, years? In principle, you shouldn't do it, but when we looked at the filings, we were surprised it happened. So that is a problem.
Is there a common denominator in the form of the filing agent? Because that's usually the trick.
I didn't go there. I'm just looking from a user perspective and I'm saying if I had to consume this data, I would not be perfectly happy with the data model we have used. Then we looked at it and said, look, there are two options to resolve this problem. You're saying either we continue to retain the decimal item type, maybe we use the element labels or implementation notes to provide some guidance as how a particular element should be used, or we really change the item type to duration and then we use a global ISO standard. So in option one, this is here on slide 29, what it really would do, we would use in the standard label, we say something, and this is underlined here, we say remaining period in years. And would say, look, if something is expressed in days or months, then you express it in year. Now, for amortization period, that is going to be unlikely, maybe you have talked about contractual life outstanding of share options, there months will come into play. So you really use labels to guide preparers as how that the value should be expressed. Another option is really to go to the use of the duration item type. Now, the use of the duration item type is an XBRL item type, and as far as Vlad explains me, based on XML rules, you really now must use a text string in a standard data format using the ISO 8601 standard. So there's a global standard that says, look, if you use duration item type, then you must express your units in this, or not units in mind, you must express your values in this way. The problem of using duration item type, if you were to do it, because it's a textual element, it's not anymore a numeric item, we would have done to change within our taxonomy all elements from instant to duration. And also changing of the item type would mean that we would have to deprecate existing elements and replace and create them with new elements having the same accounting meaning. So this slide gives what we see the benefits and the disadvantages of the two options. So if we were to go with retain our decimal item type, yes, we and with some implementation notes, it would have improved consistency, but there is still scope for error, because if a preparer doesn't read the implementation note, they can still make an error. Yeah. It would be more of a custom standard that we would then apply, because we say, look here now, in this particular way, although there's an international agreed way to use duration item type for periods of time, and there's a global agreed standard to express period of times, we would do our own type of custom solution as to how period should be expressed. If we were to go with the other option to change the decimal item type, then we would have more consistency and more assured consistency, and we would adhere to a more global standard. The benefit of using the decimal item type is, of course, that it aligns more with presentation, whereas in using the duration item type, it does not align with presentation anymore. And there's a cost involved. So if you deprecate elements, of course, you have to re-tag. But in the end, we still, after long consideration, because again, this is a situation where both options have pros and cons, in the end we decided to go with option two, really to move from change from decimal item type to duration item type, because we really felt, look, if there is a global standard that exists, then we should really, to the extent possible, follow global standards. With the problem of presentation, we think, look, more and more now regulators are moving to inline XBRL. If people still want to view this presentation in decimal, then they can just read and view that in the inline XBRL format. There's a cost of conversion for preparers from decimal to this standard ISO format, but again, we didn't think that's an issue because there are top tools who easily do that automatically, so there would be very little conversion cost. So our option questions to you are, do you agree with us changing these items from duration from decimal to duration? Or do you know of any other option that we are not aware of and you think would solve this issue we face in a better way? John, these
well,
are...
Well, Rita, this is... No, I think John was going to say something.
Nope. Lou, go ahead.
Go ahead, Lou.
Okay, I'll go ahead. I strongly agree with option two. And I think the primary reason is it's ISO standard and it produces a lot of variability in how one can. I noticed on slide 11, you know, one idea if we go with option one is to put in the label in years. That way it's very clear that you should enter that as years, but even that doesn't prevent the preparer from putting months or pure or whatever unit they want. I mean, it's a suggestion, but it still has its flaw. So those are my thoughts. Oh, one other comment on one of the slides, it says that you have to use an instant or a duration period type for the duration item type. And I know in the U.S. GAAP taxonomy, we have a few items where that isn't the case, where it's a duration item type and the period type is instant. So I'm not sure if that is correct at the top of ones or not. Go ahead.
No, I'm aware of that. The team is aware of that. And we also discussed that again. We said at the moment, standard IFRS taxonomy policy is to say, look, if something is not numeric, then we use by default duration. Now, you can question that is really that the use of the duration item for all taxonomical elements or numeric elements is the right policy to follow. So we fully subscribe that, look, there may be an issue. But I think I would prefer them to tackle this issue for the whole taxonomy and do we have to correct it as a whole? And it's better now for the moment being just over the default policy as it stands, really.
I see. Got it. And regardless of that, I still agree with option two. So that's my input. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Lou.
It's Martin. Could I just check something regarding option two? That is just in terms of the iXBRAIL presentation. Are we saying that we're actually going to convert the presentation into the ISO format, or do we still retain the decimal value and it uses some sort of transformation to report the ISO value?
This is one of my other email to John, because we looked at the transformation registry, and the transformation registry for people who know less about this, I only learned about that, in fact, a few days ago, is really if the presentation format in a report differs from how you provide that value in the XBRL feed or format, then there is some kind of registry which allows for this transformation to happen. That's the way I understood it. Now, when we looked at it, we didn't see that.
But it doesn't exist in the existing transformation registry unless we've gone mad. But it's not hard to add. But the question is that what you want? Do you want it to be converted into a decimal?
But
of what? Days, minutes, hours, years? What do you want?
Yeah, we can always take this.
I guess my concern would just be that if this changes what people see on the face of the accounts, you know, just the original document had, you know, 3.4 years, and this changes it to the ISO value, it just seems a bit...
No, I wouldn't want that. So you really want to say, so if the report, and this may be an offline discussion, so if the report says 3.7 in 9XBRL...
Yeah.
Would you not be able to say, okay, I tag this with a duration item type with this ISO standard, within inline XBRL, would still show 3.7? How would that work?
Well, but that goes to the problem you've described. So you don't know. There's nothing in the accounting literature today that says disclose these in months or days. So therefore, you've got differing interpretations by people who've got different situations. Oh, I've got long-dated securities. Everything in my environment is in years. I've got short-dated securities. Everything in my stuff is in months. So if you don't have consistency in what... So 3.7 could be something different, totally different.
Yeah.
So if you don't have... yes, you can convert 3.7 into the ISO framework, but you're still going to have an inconsistency. So my question to Lou, I'm sorry you broke up slightly, was what is there a consistency in the US GAAP disclosures of this nature or not? Or maybe Lewis can answer that, because they've presumably got some time series in this area. There's no problem about adding something to the transformation registry, but you've got to have something consistent to transform it from and to. You see what I mean?
I think so, not completely mad.
We can do it on a whiteboard later.
Lewis, because I believe the US GAAP also uses duration item time for things that present a period of time. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we use. We consciously changed anything that related to expressing a duration of time to the duration item type some number of years ago now. I'm not sure I fully understood your question, John, but the consistency is that we simply made sure everything was converted so that the filers could put in the time period that they thought fit.
So you're using duration, which means you don't have any decimal disclosures, which means you don't wonder what 3.7 is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. I think we...
To the question about inline, it would still show the 3.7 years on the inline document, the human-readable document. That would not change.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So we would still, if I understand, so if you're really saying, okay... and I'm sorry that I didn't understand this before. I'm really on inline XBRL, it's still 3.7. In the XBRL extract, I can show it in this ISO stem, in that ISO format, and I don't have to do anything with the transformation.
We wouldn't need to do that because you're going to just have it as a duration.
Okay.
We can do it offline.
We do it offline. Sorry. The thing I get from Lewis and John, look, there is no issue here. Okay, good. Marshall, I know it doesn't address your question, and I'll come back after I've understood it better from John and Vladek. Definitely can help here, yeah.
I think the question has been addressed, visually on screen, the original figure is shown, so that's fine by me.
Okay, great, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So, Rita... you've got one other topic that you needed to cover.
Actually, could I ask a question?
Sure.
It's Tom. When I'm looking at the slide 6 with the examples, most of them are relatively long-lived. So I have two questions. First, what proportion of companies do decimal years versus this duration in their actual statements?
I can only say, John, Tom, based on possibly, I would say, the 20 to 25 companies I have looked at, that those 25 all put decimal in their report.
So, which leads to my second question. Mm-hmm. If I'm a user and I want to do a calculation for almost any of these things,
mm-hmm.
I asked, what is the cost to the U.S., what is the cost to prepare us, what's the cost to use it? Because I think I would like it in decimal, because I'm probably going to want to divide to get a per annum,
mm-hmm.
something or other. And so if you put everything into duration, then the user has to flip it back into years to do a division.
Again, computers can do that, I think, isn't it? Computers can
but the duration can be represented as a year.
Yeah, so you've got to do, it's an extra step for every user.
No, it shouldn't be.
If it comes as duration, I've got to still convert it.
Not if it's being done as
as a matter of in my program, does it? Somewhere somebody's, I think one of the reasons all the companies do this is that's how you actually mm-hmm. employ the thing, is as a decimal number. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just asking that, because I'm not.
I think it's a really good point. I think it's the same as a global agreed standard. So if you really, as a computer, you should be able to handle that and you should be able to transfer it back if a user wants that in that particular. Because I can imagine if you download that in Excel, you're not going to put that in PR3 blah, blah, blah format. You want to be in Excel, do something that 3.7, multiply that.
Because where I've done it in mm-hmm. research or something, the mm-hmm. first thing I do is convert it back into decimal, because that's typically what you're doing mm-hmm. is converting something into a per annum, mm-hmm. and I got to put it in a divisor.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just wanted to raise that.
I'll add that the problem is with the decimal is one company may say 2 years, the other company may say 24 months. So one company shows 2, the other shows 24 in the XBRL, and a user would have to, if you put that in your spreadsheet, you would have to go look in the XBRL manually to see what the units is for the 24 and what the units is for the 2. And it's actually more work and an extra step for a user with the decimal as opposed to the duration.
Yeah, and I think data providers have traditionally done that. Because for me, when I go to CompuStat, they've already
They should be able to do it back. But I think that's a good point, and thank you, Lou, for mine, because the problem we're trying to resolve is, look, you get, if you use decimal units, you really get value, and it's value of 8. Now, this 8 can be years or months, and you don't know, because if you did by using the decimal unit, then maybe if it is not, you could call it not great tagging, but it exists in practice. You're really saying, okay, a user they can say, if I just give you 8, I'm telling it's a unit of pure. But that pure, what does this pure mean in this case? Is that years, months, days? What is it? And that's the problem we're trying to solve. And thank you very much, Lou, for reminding me that I got out there for a minute.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Rita, we're just about up to the hour.
Yeah, I think...
did you want to go through the... I know you had in your slides you had a second topic. Did you want to go through that, or are you okay at this point?
I think these are... topics we already discussed in April. However, we got from one ITC GEM member in advance some comments on the new presentation group, and I suggest really we'll talk to that member to see after we have expressed our view if this is still a concern. If so, then we'll raise it at the next meeting, because our time is up, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, so that's going to wrap us up for today, unless there's any last minute comments from the team.
Yes, I just wanted to say that we have sent you, I think last week or 2 weeks ago, a formula for you to review. Because we would like to publish hopefully sometime next week. So the deadline for comments is by the end of today. So if you have any comments, please do send us, because we would like to finalize it as soon as possible. We would like to also note that we have actually found a few elements that we would like to add to one of the formulas as a result of looking at the implementation notes. I'm not going to quote them right now because probably nobody will remember. I'm planning to send you an email just after this call, so you also can look at that and let us know if you have any additional concerns related to it.
Yeah. And also we are looking at calls for October, because like Anna already pointed out, we really are very keen and we're really working very hard to get out a proposed taxonomy update that includes implementation notes and general improvements. somewhere end November, early December. This may mean that we may need to schedule an additional call in October if there is a need to ask for additional advice on topics we are working on at that time. Again, I want to stress that this end of November is still very preliminary. It's only something that we are aiming for. We have just released the formula. We are releasing IFRS 13, so we're really going. We're trying to pull everything together to see if in October we can pull this off, because we really want to address some of the concerns, especially regarding duration and useful life, that people have raised to us, really. So that's why.
And included in the 2019
annual. We need to be done there around end November, early December to be effective for 2018 taxonomy. I'm sorry. Yeah.
John, can I just add a comment, please?
Yes, go ahead.
I just want to advise members that we had an advisory council meeting this week on Tuesday and Wednesday, and the taxonomy and technology was discussed with the advisory council. So that are 50 members from around the world whose role is to give advice and comment on the work that IFRS Foundation is doing. So we did have a specific session on taxonomy, and we received a great deal of feedback, and staff members will now process that feedback, and various discussions and decisions will get made, and we will bring back comments and material to this committee. But I just wanted to let you know that that process is underway, and we'll keep you informed as things develop.
Okay, great. Thanks, Sam.
Thank you, John.
Any other, before we close, anything else from either the ICCG members? I think the staff have most spoken. Okay, no. Thanks, everyone, and we'll talk again in October.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.